Your little angels are not so angelic. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. If you were with us on Friday, you heard the first part of Jim's conversation with children's pastor Bernie Simmons about this problem. Our adorable little darlings are selfish rebels at heart. Jim introduced the acronym ADIS to help us remember Adam's defiant instinct and its solution. And today we'll get to that solution in part two. It's not the law of God, nor even the godly intentions of the parents.
The dedication doesn't solve the ADIS problem. That's the dilemma. The child still has within him or herself this drivenness, this Adamic desire to defy, to rule, to be God, to be in control, and to shape the world to the child's own individual need. Now, God gave the law. There were rules.
Yes.
And God told the parents in that economy that they were to apply those rules and teach them to the children. Talk for a bit about how the rules have to do with outward behavior and why that's important, and how that really doesn't solve the problem, though. The problem is deeper than that.
Well, Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, he took about 6 or 7 points in the Sermon on the Mount and said, now you've heard that it has been said in your law that talks about behavior such and such, but I say, and then he would point out something inner that still wasn't met by just that behavior. And he did that, you've heard it said, thou shalt not kill, but I say, you've heard that it is said on the outside, you should not lie, you should not say these things, you should not break your vows in this evil way. But I say, and he talked about the heart, the inside as well. Through the centuries after Moses had given the laws to the people of Israel, their pattern was to rely on those laws and think that by confining their child with that kind of behavior, it would put a lid on the ADIS. That it didn't, but that was their only hope, to put a lid on it. When God gave the law through Moses, I've looked very carefully at the words that Moses delivered from God, and he said to the parents, he said, write these things on your heart. Not just learn this behavior, but write it on your heart. I think of Proverbs chapter 3, where Solomon, he kind of gave a 3-point outline as he's talking to his son in a father-son chat, and he says, first of all, he said, my son, obey my rules. And here's that behavior thing. And every set of parents, you have to give structure to your child. You have to develop disciplines and behavioral patterns, set guidelines for their behavioral patterns, and that's what Solomon was referring to. He then said, and, verse 3, the principles behind those rules that I set as my commands, write those on your heart, the principles, the why. Learn the reason why, the wisdom behind all of these rules. It's not good for parents to give thousands of rules, then they have to back them up and make sure that they get accomplished. But finally, Solomon got down to the heart and he said, not just obey my rules, my son. Don't just have the behavior. Don't just know why you should have that kind of behavior, but learn to trust the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and then He will direct your path. And that gets down to the deepest area. In our Sunday school classes, we have to have discipline. At school, teachers have to have discipline. In homes, parents have to have disciplining, meaning discipling of their child, to give them a set of guidelines. But if that's all the further a parent is looking, the ADIS is still inside, and you can only keep a lid on it so long as that problem remains inside.
What do you do with those parents who think that they can bring their children to you, here to the church, and you can solve that problem?
Well, we're at an advantage because they only have them the whole week and we get them 2 hours. Yeah, we get them 2 hours. Yeah. So that's our advantage. There's no magic formula. For the parent who looks at church for themselves as a time to just get a brush, a little bit of brush of goodness, and then they can make it through the rest of the week, that's not what church is about. For a person to come to church and personally submit themselves to hearing God's word and respond to God and say yes to God, that's what a person does when they listen to God's word at a church service. When they turn their children over to us, we try to teach the children not only the Bible stories, but select Bible stories that illustrate a response that the child should have to God, and teach the child about God, about my need for God, and my need to make a commitment of myself to God. And we do that repeatedly, and we try to be sensitive to the child and help the child pray to the Lord when the child understands what they're praying to the Lord. Parents and church need to work together in a partnership of identifying the progress that a child is making. And our goal is not as a church to replace parenting. Our goal is to supplement and to come along and assist in the parenting.
Well, in the passage, Paul says that the law was given, and that the law in being given established a code, and that established a standard. And when you break the standard, you know that something's wrong, because discipline follows. So in raising the child with a set of standards, it's not long until the child discovers that there are expectations and limitations. And this is designed by God to teach the child that they are out of sync, that there's a problem inside, that they are sinners. And where there is no discipline, where there is no standard, the child can grow up and continue to develop into a tyrant. And the child can continue to think that the world owes them, and that they are right and all the rest of the world is wrong, and that their will, their particular preference, is the thing that everybody should bow to. That's why it is so critical, so important, that in your home you have standards, habits, routines, and that in the midst of those things you're exposing your child to the God who is behind those standards and the God who has given them life. Bernie, how young should a child be, or how old must a child be before they can open their heart and receive God into their lives and his life and his solution to the problem?
Well, the precise age is...
Okay.
every child, as they are exposed... parents need to expose the child, first of all, before the child understands. Before a child knows what God is, or that there's a person called God that actually exists, before they even understand that he created the world, before they understand what sin is and the need for salvation from sin, parents need to talk. It needs to be a part of the reality of God needs to be a part of their conversation in the home at a very young age. And so parents, even in our nursery, where a child still can't focus their eyes, we sing songs, and some of you go back there and just love to cradle a child. And in rocking a child and singing to a child, we sing doctrinal information, theology information, and we talk to a child about, you know, God loves you too. You know that, honey? God loves you. And they learn before They learn our vocabulary before they can learn to speak. They learn our vocabulary about God before they can understand and believe. But when the child understands that they have sinned, so it's not a precise age, when they understand that they have sinned against God, that God wants to change them in their heart, way down deep inside, wants to change that so that it is like His heart, that it is not just like the human sinful instinct, but it is like God's heart, and that God is capable of doing that. When a child understands that Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for my sin as a substitute for me, then the child can make that commitment of asking Jesus Christ to take their sins away, to come and live with them and be their Kyrie or Lord, to be their Christ or the anointed one that is sanctified and holy, and to make them holy and committed to the Lord. There are children who at the age, I remember one of our children at the age of 3 came in and said, "Now I'm a Christian." They meant Christian. And that was a start. That was not the end. That was a start. And her sister had led her to say, "I'm now a Christian." So she wanted to be a Christian. And you know that you don't want to be a Christian. You want to be a Christian, but not a Christian. So her understanding was pre-salvation at that point. She was not saved just because she said, "I want to be a Christian." You do not become a Christian just by voting. And so a child that just raises their hands and says, "That's what I want," doesn't change their heart until they have an understanding of enough of the truth from the Scripture to understand who God is, who they are in their sinful condition, who Jesus Christ is and what He did on the cross, and then accept God's plan of salvation to change their heart. I like to say to parents who have a child who at a very young age said a prayer to ask Jesus to be their Savior, I like to say to children also, I say, "Now today, you know that God wanted you, that Jesus wanted you to ask Him to take your sins away. You said yes to Him when He said to you that He wanted you to pray and ask Him to take your sins away. You said yes to Him. Keep on saying yes to Him every time. Keep on saying yes to Him." I think it's bad when we as parents tell a child, you were 4 months old and you accepted Jesus as your Savior, so don't do it again. And I hope you can understand that. That was just an illustration. But the parent that looks at a child and tries to take him just through a moment in time, and then that event, from then on, they're going to stamp that event and say, you don't have to do anything else. Stop it. You've already done that with Christ. You don't have to do that anymore. That's not what salvation is. Salvation, the time in a child's life when the salvation actually takes place, is maybe after they've said yes to Jesus several times, but now it sinks in and now they understand and the genuine faith actually resolves in their heart.
Let me see if I can summarize in closing. Every one of us come into the world with Adam's defiant instinct. You didn't earn it, merit it. You were that way when you came into the world. Every baby, every human being. The law was God's gracious provision to set a standard so that that child, as they grow into an adult, primarily through their parents, will know that there is a God and that God is in control
And they need to humble their heart and change their actions to honor God. When they disobey God's rule, largely learned through disobeying the parents' rule, they experience consequences. Through that, the child then needs to be confronted with, the child needs to understand that God also has consequences to breaking his law. But God also has a solution. And here's the great good news. Just as I became a sinner naturally because of Adam's transgression, I become a child of God, a Christian, naturally through my association with and my relationship with Jesus Christ. What Adam did gave me a big problem. What Jesus did provided a perfect eternal solution. Every one of us in this room are children at some age in life. And you may not yet have dealt with your ADI problem. You may still be shaking your fist at God. You may still be designing your own way. You're driven to do that. God's solution is to change your heart. And he changes your heart when you confess that you are a sinner, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord. That means that you are going to submit to him, take your direction and your decisions for life from him. And he, in response to that decision, places his Holy Spirit inside of you, so that you have the scriptures to guide you and you have the Holy Spirit living inside to teach and apply the scripture to your life and to strengthen and empower you to do the things that the scripture says. Your salvation isn't hinged upon how high a score you achieve in your life by keeping the golden rule. Your salvation is determined because Jesus kept the whole book perfectly, and he gives you his righteousness, and then he day by day works through his Spirit in your life to check the Adamic response and to empower you and me to choose the right response and to honor God and obey him in our behavior. My friends, this is the most fundamental, basic, universal need we have. It is the most fundamental lesson of all of Scripture. And to hold a baby in your arms and to deny that that child needs the grace of God to have its heart changed, or to refuse to give to that child the only thing that will lead that child toward salvation. Oh, that's a terrible, terrible crime against that child. Your church is here to help. The church is a fellowship of parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts and brothers and sisters, hoping to help in this most fundamental and basic need. Heavenly Father, help us to grasp this most basic of all lessons. Help us to see its tremendous importance. Help us to know that at issue is joy and peace in this life, and heaven as home in the next. Stir our hearts with great concern and compassion to help the little ones
whatever their age, to understand their estrangement from God and to understand that selfish impulse that rises within them naturally. Keep us from the foolishness of thinking that we can educate them or even incarcerate them to salvation. Persuade us that the answer to that child's need is to come to know Jesus Christ and to experience His salvation. This morning, if you have come to the Lord Jesus Christ and committed your heart and life to Him, you may still struggle with that instinct. The way to overcome that struggle is to yield to the Spirit of God and to saturate your mind and heart with the Scriptures. You must do that. And if you've never made that commitment of your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and you do not have a personal, dynamic relationship with Him, the Scripture says that you're in grave danger. For without Jesus Christ, this awful instinct destroys and takes us from this life to that place God has designed to incarcerate forever those who will not yield to His truth and to His will. This morning, you can invite Jesus Christ into your heart. If you know Him, you can promise Him that you will work fervently to help others, especially boys and girls, come to know Jesus as their Savior. Now, Father, help us to think of these things and to discuss them. Enroll us as Your servants to share the truth that those who are struggling with this awful instinct might experience the freedom and salvation, the forgiveness and life that comes through Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.
You may know that Pastor Jim said yes to Jesus, or yes for the first time, as a child, and as the result of hearing something on a radio broadcast that touched his young heart. Christian parents often look for that first spark of interest in spiritual things, and in this message we've tried to show you how to nurture that spark and fan it into a flame. Jim calls it the cure for ADIS. It's part of a collection known as How to Live Effectively, Volume 2. We'll send the single message to you on CD for your gift of $7 or more, or the entire set of 12 CDs for an offering of $42 or more. We were crowdfunding before it got that catchy name. Right Start has always been underwritten by mostly small gifts from many listeners, and we still need your gifts and prayers. Thanks to everyone that helped bring today's program to the airwaves. If you'd like to assist us, please mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. Or call us at 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. On the web, please visit rightstartradio.org. You can donate securely there. Listen to past radio shows or sermons. Even find out about the podcast carried on the iTunes platform. There are many reasons to visit rightstartradio.org when you get a chance. rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. The next installment of our series, How to Live Effectively, will be a profile, a character sketch of Mary's husband, Joseph. It seems he didn't have a long life, but it was certainly a successful one. Let's find out about it tomorrow on Tuesday's Right Start.